Mr. Welch. It's very nice of you to invite me in to speak today. I appreciate that. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to each and every one. It's good to be back. Our first slide. Here we are, brethren, gathered together, as is our custom, on this seventh day to worship our great God. This holy time is in part emblematic of an important and beautiful facet of God's plan. The seventh millennium, a time picturing God's work. Man has 6,000 years for his work under the rule of Satan. God has his on this seventh millennium. God's work is a work of true peace and prosperity upon this earth. I know the feast isn't, the fall festivals are about two and a half months, but Feast of Tabernacles is about three months, a little less. But I thought, you know, in these days that, you know, we've been just heavy laden with various trials, this present chaotic, tumultuous world that we have to deal with each and every day, I thought it would be good to focus our minds upon that beautiful future age. Now, but before we do, how did we get here? And I want to kind of go through how we got to this point in time. The reality of this present world system and society is starkly different than what it was intended to be. Today, this planet is governed and swayed by a ruler who is neither good nor beneficent. In fact, he hates humanity. Aptly called the adversary and the destroyer, Jesus Christ said of Satan, he does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan's reign is characterized by a prevailing spirit of lawlessness and sin. We see a lot of that today, manifesting itself in curses, fears, and suffering. And we certainly see a lot of that, don't we? Again, we need only to look around at our world and peruse man's historical record for evidential proof of the abhorrent and detrimental effects of Satan's rulership. Let's first understand how Satan's spirit of lawlessness and sin was cunningly introduced and interjected into the perfect and peaceful environment that God had originally created in the Garden of Eden. It all came about when Satan enticed and beguiled Eve. You can go ahead and next slide. She was faced with a choice, unwittingly, with a choice between two spirits and two mindsets, a choice between yielding and submitting to God, spirit of love, obedience, and selflessness, service and cooperation, and that would reap blessings of peace, of joy, of harmony, tranquility, contentment, depicted in the Tree of Life. The other choice was that of self-determination under the influence of Satan's spirit, a spirit of greed, of get, of selfishness, pride, and rebellion, ultimately resulting in curses, depicted by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Her decision boiled down to, who was she going to trust and obey? We read of her choice in the book of Beginnings, Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave of her husband with her, to her husband with her, and he ate. Here we witness Adam and Eve sinning, disobeying God's direct and clear command with regard to eating the fruit of the forbidden tree in the midst of the garden. Notice the repercussions of their sin. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. They both realized they had made the wrong choice. Consequently, they became fearful, hid themselves from the presence of God, now left with sin's reality, that of certain fearful expectation of judgment, of curses, of cursings and death. As a result of Adam and Eve's choice of disobedience, they were summarily removed from their Creator's safe, peaceful, and idyllic environment. They and their progeny would now inhabit a much different world. They would be held captive in an environment of sin and lawlessness as they now followed Satan's spirit and mindset. Consequently, as sin and lawlessness increasingly permeated into man's world and society, as a result, curses, fears, and sufferings would likewise proliferate. Thus, with the pattern set, the die cast, every man and woman would follow in Adam and Eve's footsteps, living contrary to God's righteous laws of good and good way of life. Consequently, with each subsequent generation and continuing today, mankind has been cursed and plagued with the fearful results and sufferings of his disobedience. Let's look and consider at some of these terrible and fearful curses and suffering. Slide. And as we go, we're going to name a few, but I just want to make the point that even in this life, God has given us many, many wonderful blessings, and I certainly want to make that clear. But we're looking at the trend in this society, in this age, this evil, present evil age. Nothing could be more extant throughout man's history than the horrific, terrible scourge of war. We see Satan's fingerprints all over this curse, his attitude of strife, contention, hatred, pride, and greed. Isaiah's inspired words reveal mankind's evil and selfish heart and desire. Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Under Satan's reign and spirit, history has chronicled an exhaustive listing of self-seeking, power-hungry despots who have caused immeasurable fear, sufferings in the wake of their murderous, destructive conquests and regimes. Slide. Individuals such as Genghis Khan, this ruthless Mongolian warlord, ruled over one of the largest empires in history. His fearful reign of conquest would result in approximately 40 million deaths. That's the population pretty close of California. He was responsible for an 11% decrease in world population at that time. Next slide. Vlad the Third. This Romanian ruler was given the morbid nickname Vlad the Impaler. You probably would recognize him more by his given surname, that of Draculea or Dracula. Dracul in the old Romanian tongue is the word for dragon. His rule and conquest engendered stark fear, as he was notorious for impaling enemies on large stakes on the battlefield. Under his directives, armies mercilessly poisoned wells and burnt crops that were essential for human existence. He diabolically had infected men pass on their disease to the enemy. And there's a number of heinous deeds that are actually too gruesome to mention. Attila the Hun, a greatly feared barbarian who wreaked terror through death, destruction, rape, and pillage during the latter years of the Roman Empire. One of his many battles, the destruction and massacre in the city of Naissus, was so horrible that the massive number of corpses filled and clogged the Danube River. King Leopold II of Belgium, infamously named Butcher of the Congo, sponsored a reign of terror to acquire the Congo's flourishing rubber industry. His notable achievement, he was credited for massacring 10 million people. And workers who dared rebel had their hands summarily chopped off. Adolf Hitler. His reign was characterized by terror and fear as he ordered Kristallnacht and the subsequent imprisonment and execution of 11 million Jews and other ethnicities at his death camps. Due to his merciless and inhumane invasion of Europe and Africa in World War II, historians estimate that more than 80 million deaths occurred due to war, disease, and famine because of him. It is estimated that the deaths caused by war extant throughout history have totaled approximately, now think about this, 3.4 billion individuals. That's approximately the population of China, India, United States, and Indonesia combined. Man's penchant for war and conflict cannot begin to translate and factor in the horrific human emotion of intense gut-wrenching fear, terror, and suffering and grief that individuals have experienced throughout the history due to war. Soldiers, however, are not the only ones affected. Family members also experience mental anxiety, stress, fear when their loved ones are sent to war. In addition, millions of civilians worldwide, including women, children, and the elderly, are caught up in war's terrible and destructive path. They're many times often confronted with themselves, physical violence, exploitation, and the loss of many families being just ripped apart, forced to flee their homes, lands, communities that can no longer provide a secure environment, their future uncertain. At the end of 2019, according to the United Nations Refuge Agency, approximately 79.5, almost 80 million people have been forcibly displaced from their homes, many due to war, as well as political, religious, social, racial persecution, conditions of drought and hunger. These beleaguered, displaced individuals are many times forced to subsist in horrific conditions and of squalor and deprivation. Vulnerable, they find themselves at the mercy of local authorities, where makeshift and temporary camps have little or no security at all. What a terrible situation to be in. In recent years, man's technological advances, the creation of modern weapons of mass destruction have entered our world. Horrifying inventions such as nuclear weapons, biological and germ warfare devices, all designed to efficiently eliminate human populations. Man has a record, a very dismal one, of eventually using every weapon he has created. With unstable and rogue regimes, that possibility is very much a very good possibility. A research document entitled "The Frequency of Wars" doesn't bode well for humanity or mankind. It states that wars and conflicts, they have determined, have become increasingly frequent, and the trend has been rising steadily upward since 1870. Our world is also gripped in fear due to the scourge of terrorism and producing anarchy. Individuals or groups of individuals are intentionally involved in indiscriminate violence as means to create terror and chaos among the masses of people in order to achieve what, a financial, political, religious, or ideological aim. Terrorism has plagued the inhabitants of the state of Israel for a long time. They live in constant fear of rocket attacks by Middle East terrorist groups. In 2019, just imagine this, there have been 649 rockets fired into Israel. Children, for the most part now, cannot even play outside. The few playgrounds that have been recently constructed have been built, built and constructed within fortified rocket-proof buildings. That's where they play. A few outdoor playgrounds do exist, but they have easily accessible bomb shelters adjacent to the playgrounds that the children can run in for the protective shelter when they hear the sirens alarm. What a terrifying way to live. September 11, 2001 changed the psyche of our nation as the Twin Towers were toppled in New York City by terrorists. Today, across our land, we see the discernible rise of lawlessness and chaos. We are witnessing the rise of violent political, social, ideological groups on our streets and in our universities, promoting chaos and anarchy. Their goal is the end of an orderly, law-abiding society. In the wake of their path is the violent assault on individuals or groups, as well as the destruction of public and private property. Likewise, extreme destructive religious ideologies foster and promulgate hatred, animosity, strife between various races, ethnicities, and nations. Likened unto the evil and violent time of Noah, our world, our nation, is going through a period of violence and volatility, creating fear and uncertainty about the future. We witness the ruination and demise of stable, orderly, moral society, our society and world. People are terribly concerned about what lies ahead for themselves, their children, and grandchildren. Drug abuse and alcohol addictions are fearful curses responsible for so much pain and suffering. You know, the number of drug overdoses are staggering. Just in 2017, 70,000 deaths were attributed to drug overdoses. Before I retired, I remembered our anesthesia group had to scramble to see if they could locate and acquire Narcan. a reversal drug, because there were so many overdoses that were being used on this, and so they were able to find, but you know, there were some times that maybe surgeries might have to be canceled or delayed because of the lack of those things, those reversal drugs. Increasingly throughout our land, especially in our major cities, we are witness to people publicly and habitually injecting themselves with dangerous illegal drugs. Some display threatening, erratic behavior. Others, their unresponsive bodies lie haphazardly strewn upon the sidewalks amidst the dirty needles in the garbage. It's terrible. Alcoholism has an equally abysmal track record. In our godless and immoral world, we have seen the proliferation of pornography, setting the stage for rampant rapes and violent assaults. Sadly, another result, curse of, is that of infidelity. And that translates into ruined marriages and ruined families. Research indicates that one divorce occurs approximately every 13 seconds. It's estimated 80% of couples are headed in the direction of divorce within the first 4 or 5 years of marriage. As families and society fragment, our world has seen an increase of gangs. Their culture promulgates violence and crime. As a result, we feel unsafe, vulnerable, fearing to travel in areas, you know, under their control or influence. Daily on the news flashes that go over our electronic devices highlight the senseless and wanton violence and shooting by disgruntled and unstable individuals. And we see that quite a bit. It's just very sad. Our world suffers under the curse of and fear of crime. The possibility of being a victim weighs heavily on our minds. Locks, surveillances, cameras, passwords, security codes. Think about that. They're all a result of crime, of a crime-ridden world. The massive amounts of money is staggering that are invested into security systems to thwart both physical and cyber theft. Our world also suffers under the curse of destructive weather and natural disasters. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, volcanoes, wildfires reap untold destruction and misery upon those lives affected in their paths. Well, that's the reality of our fearful, sin-sick world, under the rule of Satan, the adversary, and we're only scratching the surface. And I do apologize. It's you don't like to talk about that. It's a lot of negativity, isn't it? And we want, especially on God's Sabbath day, which pictures in part the millennial reign, we want to focus on good news, on wonderful news of this future age. The Holy Scriptures revealed a much better world of peace, safety, prosperity, and justice. That day is coming. And that's something we need to focus on, especially in these times. With the remainder of this message, let's look how Jesus Christ, pictured as the Good Shepherd, will create and establish a beautiful, loving, peaceful, joyful environment from the ashes of a ravaged and devastated world as he gathers and settles his redeemed outcast flock in and around Zion. I invite you to write down the scriptures, but I invite you to listen to the beautiful word pictures of the prophets talking about these various things, about this wonderful world tomorrow. Okay. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 through 9, New Living Translation. In all history, there has never been such a time of terror. It will be a time of trouble for my people. Yet, in the end, they will be saved. For in that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will break the yoke from their necks and snap their chains. Foreigners will no longer be their masters, for my people will serve the Lord their God. Micah 2, verses 12 through 13. Today's English version. But I will gather you together, all you people of Israel that are left. I will bring you together like sheep returning to the fold, like a pasture full of sheep. Your land will be filled once again, be filled with many people. God will open the way for them. He will lead them out of exile. They will break out of the city gates and go free. Their king, the Lord himself, will lead them out. Once God has broken and removed the fearful bondage of the oppressors, he will lovingly and mercifully gather, settle, and protect his scattered flock. His people will no longer live under the anxious threat of being violently attacked, terrorized, or harmed. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, will provide his sheep with a serene, peaceful environment, supplying them with ample and constant source of delicious, healthful, physical food. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 14. New Living Translation. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples of the nation. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel and by the rivers and all the places where the people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed them in the lush pastures of the hills. Next slide. The Good Shepherd will also lovingly tend to and heal his flock's physical and emotional wounds. Mercy and healing will fill the land. Now, we'll continue on verse 15 of Ezekiel 34. I myself will tend my sheep, and I will give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed. I will bring them safely home. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Isaiah continues this theme of healing in Isaiah 35, verses 3 through 6. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. We see the healing process continue as Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, will spiritually cleanse his flock. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 29. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. a soft, receptive, submissive heart. I will put my spirit within you and then cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. And as a result of all these things coming about, we read in Jeremiah 31, verses 24 and 25, New Living Translation, the prophet Jeremiah writes, townspeople, farmers, shepherds alike will live together in peace and happiness. For I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. The prophet Ezekiel describes this peaceful and safe utopian setting under God's good spirit. In the wonderful world tomorrow, we read in Ezekiel 34, verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them, with his people, and I will cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. We see here God's people shall enjoy security under divine protection. God will restore the peaceful, docile nature of animals as they were originally in the Garden of Eden. They shall no longer be a threat. But more importantly, God will vanquish all those wild beasts, both spiritual and human. Scripture describes Satan as a roaring and devouring lion, along with his minions. They shall be removed. Those beast-like tyrants that we heard about earlier, who have terrorized and preyed upon their fellow man, shall cease from the land and be no more. Isaiah likewise proclaimed, neither man nor beast shall hurt nor destroy within all God's holy mountain. God's capital will be Jerusalem, a city, an abode of peace. Justice shall reign there. Throughout man's history, Jerusalem has seen little peace within its walls. Just as an aside, I was toured Jerusalem in 1981. I remember going through various military checkpoints that were strategically placed within the city. I was just aghast at young children being escorted to school by older teenagers with brandishing sub-automatic machine guns. There was the ever-present tensions between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Confrontations were common in many of the contested areas of the city. Isaiah pictures a much different Jerusalem in the age to come. Isaiah 54, verses 11 through 14. The Lord says, O Jerusalem, you suffering, helpless city, with no one to comfort you, I will rebuild your foundations with precious stones. I will build your towers with rubies, your gates with stones that glow like fire, and the wall around you with jewels. I myself will teach your people and give them prosperity and peace. Justice and right will make you strong, and you will be safe from oppression and terror. Prophet Zechariah also depicts Jerusalem's peaceful future in the age to come. Zechariah 8, verses 4 and 5. Very familiar. Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of great age. and the streets of the cities shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. No more bomb shelters. Under Christ's instruction and tutelage, God's beautiful and amazing Spirit will influence and encourage and cause his flock to willingly and enthusiastically obey God from their hearts. Thus, we see a very beautiful relationship develop between God and his people. Notice the flourishing flock's profound trust in their shepherd. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, the Living Bible translation. Those who trust in the Lord are steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstances. Just as the mountains surround and protect Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds and protects his people. How beautiful. Next. Once established, God's flock, being blessed and prosperous, will become a shining city upon a hill. They will become an example and an advertisement of God's good way of life. Isaiah 51, verses 3 and 4, New Living Translation. The Lord will comfort Zion again and have pity on her ruins. Her desert will blossom like Edom, her barren wilderness like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Songs of thanksgiving will fill the air. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, Israel, for my law will be proclaimed. My justice will become the light to the nations. And that light will not go unnoticed. Surrounding nations will seek and inquire of the God of Israel that they might also have peace and prosperity. Zechariah 8, verses 20 through 23. Today's English version. The Lord Almighty says, the time is coming when people from many cities will come to Jerusalem, and those from one city will say to those from another, We are going to worship the Lord Almighty and pray for his blessing. Come with us. Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Almighty and to pray for his blessing. In those days, 10 foreigners will come to one Jew or a redeemed Israelite and say, we want to share in your destiny because we have heard that God is with you. Continue on with Micah 4 and verse 1 through 4, the Living Bible. But in the last days, Mount Zion will be the most renowned of all the mountains of the world. Praised by all nations, peoples from all over the world will make pilgrimages, journeys there. Come. They will say to one another, let's visit the mountain of the Lord and see the temple of the God of Israel. He will tell us what to do, and we will do it. For in those days, the whole world will be ruled by the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will issue his laws and announce his decrees from there. Verse 3, he will arbitrate among the nations and dictate to strong nations far away. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall no longer fight each other, for all war will end. There will be universal peace, and all military academies and training camps will be closed down. Everyone will live quietly in his own home in peace and prosperity. For there will be nothing to fear. The Lord himself has promised this. You know, it's going to be a marvelous time for farming, gardening, all kinds of outdoor activities. All this is conducive for healthy environment, healthy food, healthy lifestyles, which yields, most importantly, healthy families. God will lovingly and faithfully give rain in due season. The land shall yield its produce. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Threshing will last till the time of vintage or harvest, and the time of harvest shall last till the time of sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in the land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. We see that in Leviticus 26, verses 4 through 6. Well, as peoples and populations yield to God's spirit and good way of life, the earth will become a wonderful utopian environment of peace and safety. Just think about it. Let's just think about it a second. Imagine this world being transformed, its inhabitants united, every one living by all ten of the commandments, a world with one God, one spirit, and one faith. Finally, the prophet Isaiah, I believe this encapsulates the spirit of the wonderful world tomorrow. In Zephaniah 3, verses 12 through 17, New Living Translation. And just, I hope we'll listen and meditate and visualize these words as it relates to God's future age. Those who are left will be the lowly and humble, for it is they who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will never tell lies or deceive one another. They will eat and sleep in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last, your troubles will be over, and you will never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, "Cheer up, Zion, don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. And with his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." What a beautiful vision. What a beautiful future reality. No more despots, no more war, no more terrorism, no more murder, no more crimes, no more illegal drugs, no more pornography, no more adultery, no more broken homes, no more disease, no more natural disasters, no more oppressive governments, no more false and destructive ideologies and religions, no more destructive and fearful curses. And the wicked, who have promoted and taken part in these sinful and destructive behaviors, if not repented of, will vanish like the chaff scattered by the wind. They will have no place among the godly. Brethren, these days are troubling, aren't they? Let us rejoice, though, as we look forward in great hope and anticipation to the time when God will transform this present evil age of darkness, sin, and fear into the kingdom of his glorious light. The wonderful world tomorrow, a world filled with peace, prosperity, joy, laughter, contentment. May God hasten that beautiful realm where none shall make them afraid.